Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to be able to study your word, to be able to dig deep into there to find the message you want us to receive. And help us now as we continue searching for these words of encouragement. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z and the word encouragement. Let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 3, where we see John the Baptist and the encouraging message that he has brought to the people. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, reads, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." It was prophesied that John the Baptist would come and would prepare the way, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And for the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, those 3 years or so, that he was here amongst us, being able to preach and teach and heal many. And John the Baptist was the one announcing that he was going to be coming. As it continues here in verse 4. "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." See, it was obvious that John understood what he was seeing, because we know from the records we've already read, John was given the blessing of the Holy Ghost before he was even born. So he was fully indwelt with the Holy Ghost, giving him the enlightenment, giving him the wisdom and understanding and discernment that he needed to be able to do the task that was given to him. And when he saw these Pharisees and Sadducees and the way they were behaving, he understood exactly what they were all about. And he called them on it, called them a generation of vipers, and warned them to flee from that. As it continues, and he tells them, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." They needed to repent. They needed to turn away from those haughty, high attitudes that they had, the arrogance, and that they were something above the others, and that they were in it for their own glory rather than for the glory of the Lord. As he continues, "And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." See, that was one of the things that the Pharisees and Sadducees and others were actually doing at the time, was saying that since they're a descendant of Abraham, that they had to take care of. They didn't have to worry about it. They could do whatever they wanted to. It wasn't that way. Verse 10. "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Now he's talking about judgment. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Talking about the coming judgments, talking about the coming blessings as well, talking about the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is words of encouragement. Words to know that he's going to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. And when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he indwells us with the Holy Ghost, totally consuming us, enveloping us, just like in baptism. We go down in that water, you're totally surrounded and enveloped in water. The way the Holy Ghost comes over us and just gives us the comfort that is available to those that have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right, now we see here as it picks up right in verse 13, Now, Jesus is baptized, and some encouraging things that John goes through and hears as well because of him being able to baptize Jesus Christ. In verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now this sky is opening up, and this vision was available to John. John was able to look up and see that, and see that glorious event taking place, giving him the encouragement of knowing that he has been doing the work that he was supposed to be doing, and that the one that he was telling folks is going to come has came. And that was very, very encouraging to John. All right, now let's look at some of the early preaching that the Lord did, some encouragement that he gave to everyone over in Matthew chapter 5. This is a section which is known as the Beatitudes or the Blessednesses in Matthew chapter 5. Let's pick it up right here in verse 1. It reads, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven. And that is what we all start out as, poor in spirit, because when we come to the Lord poor in spirit and we ask for forgiveness, he enriches us with his spirit, and then we have access to the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this comfort goes out to those that have trusted Jesus Christ. And when they have a loved one that passes away, they are comforted knowing that that loved one that passes away, when they trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior as well, is going to be with the Lord for eternity, and that they will be able to see them again. And the Lord gives us comfort in knowing that he wraps his loving arms around us whenever we're going through whatever stressful problem it might be, whatever challenge it might be. And when we have such a sorrowful condition of mourning, when we have someone that has passed away, is usually when this verse is applied, and when we really think about mourning, is when you're going to mourn the death of someone. And we're going to understand really what life and death is, especially as a born-again Christian. Because when we look at what death is, it's just merely separation from the body. And when they're separate from the body, they're present with the Lord. So in that, we can have comfort. And it tells us that we will be blessed, we'll be comforted, we'll be given the assurance that the Lord has everything under control and that our loved one is with them. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted," comforted by the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, this meek, once again, is born-again Christians. And inheriting the earth is, for 1,000 years, we'll be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ on this earth, and then be looking forward to the new earth for eternity. And that's definitely some encouraging words. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." When you truly have a deep hunger and thirst for the Word of God, for righteousness, for a close relationship with the Lord, you're going to get it. You're going to be filled. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as they say. And that's clearly what he's talking about here. If we're merciful, we'll receive mercy. If we are forgiving, we'll receive forgiveness. And that is encouraging to know that it's not wasted when you have mercy on someone. Verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. When you become a born-again Christian, you become a new creature. He gives you a new mind. He cleanses you throughout and your heart as well. And you will see God. He will manifest Himself to us. He'll come into us in the form of the Holy Ghost, and He'll have that relationship available to us to be able to turn to the Heavenly Father, to look to the Heavenly Father, to proclaim Him as our daddy or papa, as it says, Abba, Father. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemakers. This is not only what we would first think about as peacemakers would be like someone who is in the military or someone who's on a police department, or someone who is a referee between two adversaries. This is also the peacemakers that share the Word of God. Because when you share the Word of God, you are sharing peace. You are helping others find peace and have peace, peace of mind and peace in the heart. And those are the children of God. Simple as that. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now we know that if you are an active, fruit-bearing, born-again Christian, the world sees you. And the evil followers of Satan out there will persecute you. And that persecution is evidence of you displaying the fruits of the Spirit. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Because you're part of the kingdom. You're part of the family. So, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Note the qualifier there. For righteousness' sake. Not just persecuted, but persecuted because you are born again and Christian, displaying the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Note, for God's sake. It's because you're a Christian that they attack you. Many people take it as a personal assault, but actually, it's the devil assaulting Jesus Christ. Because when you're displaying the fruits of the Spirit, when you're out there doing the work, and you receive the persecution for doing the work of a born-again Christian, the false accusations, oh, you hate me because you're telling me that I shouldn't do what I'm doing. Well, no, you love them. Otherwise, you just let them wallow in their sins and go to hell. But because we love them and care for them and don't want to see them go to hell, we point out their flaws, point out their problems, point out their behavior as being something that's going to lead them to the lake of fire, and they turn around and say, oh, you hate me, and then they'll come up with all kinds of ways to try to cut you down and condemn you, lie about you, whatever it might be, all the kinds of persecution there is, even try to kill you. But note that we are blessed when we're out there doing the work. Even though we're going to receive a lot of persecutions, we're going to be blessed by the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice. Rejoice when you're out there doing the work and you get persecuted. Because then you know you're being effective. Otherwise, the devil will just leave you alone. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Note, you're not alone. You're not something special and different that you're the only one that ever went through the persecution because you're out there doing the work of the Lord. It's the way it's always been. You know you're going to be rewarded for it. And that is very encouraging. And when you're out there and receive that persecution, that's encouraging as well. Because you know you're being effective. Otherwise, they wouldn't be persecuting you. All right, now turn on over to Matthew chapter 6. And here we see some words being taught by the Lord to us concerning how we need to focus on serving the Lord, put Him number one in our lives, and not worry about all the details of the needs of life. in verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 reads, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." This God and mammon, the word mammon here meaning material gain or money. If your desire is to achieve great amounts of wealth in this world, to use in this world, then you have your goals out of whack. You need to put serving God number one in everything that you do over everything else. And not to be trying to build up treasures here. We need to be building up treasures in heaven. Because the Lord is going to take care of us. He's going to see to it that we have exactly what we need to be able to do the work He has available for us to do. Verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" He's pointing out here, there's things that are far more important than a really good meal or a really good set of clothes. He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." See, that's the key there. When we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, we become part of the family of God, and God is going to take care of His family members. He's going to open doors of opportunities. He's going to provide you with the means that you need to be able to live in this world, to do the task He has available for you to do, and provide you with everything that you need to be able to do that. Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Note the extreme words of encouragement here. "And all these things shall be added unto you." All the things he was talking about there. Health, wealth, prosperity, enjoyment, everything that you need to be able to be in this world and to survive in this world and to flourish in this world, to prosper in this world, is available to us as born-again Christians. When we get out there and do the work, share the gospel, share the blessings, He's going to just keep piling more and more and more upon us. Simple as that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to not worry about tomorrow. Too many people have their focus on what they got to have for tomorrow rather than looking at what they need for today. What do you need for today? Look at the job you have set before you today in this world, in this realm, in this time period. Do what you need to do that day. And don't be worrying about what you're going to have to do tomorrow, because our focus needs to be on every opportunity that's right in front of our face at the time. Take advantage of that, because we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. He'll come back before I finish the next sentence. Then if I was all worried about tomorrow, then I just wasted all that time worrying about tomorrow, because there wasn't going to be no tomorrow. So focus on today. Focus on right now. Do what the Lord has available for you to do right now. Take it to the fullest. Use it to the fullest. Share it. Right now, if you will, turn on over to Matthew chapter 11. Some comforting words here about some rest. Because when we think about doing a work for the Lord, sometimes we wind up taking on more than we should. Sometimes other folks pile stuff on us that shouldn't be accepted and taken on as your duties. Like the old analogy I've shared about the man with the wheelbarrow. He has a wheelbarrow, and the Lord puts a load in that wheelbarrow, and he says, take this up that mountain. So the man starts up the path up the mountain with a wheelbarrow, and along the way there's a little kid off to the side and says, sir, I have this heavy load. I cannot carry it. Can you take it for me? And the kid throws it over in your wheelbarrow, and you go a little farther, and there's an old lady and says, I can't carry this. Can you carry it for me? And she throws it in your wheelbarrow, and you take it on up there, and then again and again and again, this happens to you. By the time you get up to the top of the wheelbarrow, you're just barely dragging your feet. You can hardly move, and you push it up there and say, Lord, why did you put such burden on me? And the Lord takes all these other extra things out, the little kid put in there, the old lady put in there, and all the others put in there, and said, this is all I gave you to carry up the mountain. You took all the other on yourself. So we got to be careful what we take on. Yes, it's great to have the ambition, to have the desire to be able to serve the Lord, but make sure that what you're doing for the Lord is exactly what the Lord wants you to do, and do what He wants you to do, not do what He wants somebody else to do. Because then you're just taking away the benefit of somebody else being able to do a task that they could have done, but then you took it away from them. So do what the Lord has set for you to do, specifically what He has ordained you to do, only. And as he says here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might be looking at a challenge, and you might be looking at a task. You might be looking at an opportunity that the Lord has placed before you to be able to do. And you might be thinking, whoa, that's a very hard task to do. But as he said right here, it's going to be a light task. Why? Because he's really the one doing all the hard labor. He's just giving you a part of being able to be able to part of it, an opportunity to be a part of it. So take that opportunity and know he's going to do the hard work. You just got to hang on for the ride. All right, now if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Now we know Matthew chapter 24 and 25 speak of the things of the last days. And here in Matthew chapter 25, let's pick it up in verse 14 to find some further words of encouragement about the future and about the blessings that are going to come to us, the rewards that are going to come to us for being good stewards with what the Lord has blessed us with. In Matthew chapter 25, pick it up here in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord. Let's continue and I'll explain further. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we got to be good stewards. When the Lord gives us something, we need to use it properly. And when we use it properly, He's going to reward us because we've used it. We need to multiply what the Lord has given us. How do we multiply it? By applying it, by putting it to work. Down there we talk about usury. That's interest. That's putting it to work. This one fellow that didn't do anything with his talent was the person that has come into this world, born into this world, does nothing with his life. That's the 1 talent. That's the starting, the 1 talent. He could have multiplied that, but he didn't. He wasted it. It wasn't productive. He didn't turn over to the Lord. And because of that, he winds up getting cast in the lake of fire for eternity. These others, where it says, Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, is a reference to being able to go over into the millennial kingdom. Now that's the joy of the Lord that he's speaking of here. Because in these verses, in these 2 books, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we see these are prophecies of the last days. And this is a parable concerning the judgments that will take place shortly before entering into the millennial kingdom. And in taking the things that we have gained in this life and rolling them over into the millennial kingdom and applying them there as well. And that's what we have available to us, an opportunity to multiply the things that the Lord has blessed us with. Let's take that opportunity. Let's use these words of encouragement and get on out there and get to work and do the tasks that the Lord has available for us to do. And we can see some other words here in Matthew chapter 28, which are awesome words of encouragement, where it says in verse 18, And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ with us all the way through and blessing us when we use things properly. So let's use these words of encouragement, multiply them, and share them with others. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time you've allowed us to be able to study your word. Help us to always take advantage of it when it's available. Encourage us to go out and share it with others. Thank you, oh, so much for the encouragement that you give us as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.